Hello and welcome to In Conversation, a DubLab podcast where each week we will bring you interviews from the DubLab radio archives.
Hello and welcome to DubLab Radio. I'm Samuel, and today we have a very special guest, Alain Mabankou. Alain, you are a writer, a poet. You have published over 20 books, novels, and poetry collections. They have been translated in many languages, at least 20, I think. And you are a professor here in Los Angeles at UCLA in the French and Francophone Studies Department, as well as in Paris at Collège de France. Today we're going to talk about different things. DubLab, we like to talk about music, so that's what we're going to talk about mainly. Congolese Rumba genre from Congo, and your own involvement in music production with the albums Black Bazaar. Alain, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well, you know. It's like funny to talk about music, Congolese music, and living in Los Angeles, where that music is not that popular, but I think that with such a show like yours, we're gonna have the opportunity to make your listeners to like enjoy the excitement of rumba.
Okay, so let's jump right into it. So you grew up in Pointe Noire in Congo.
Yep.
Was music something important to you, and how did it participate to your life there? Maybe you want to share some memories with us.
Yeah, the music is very important in Africa, mainly in both Congo-Kinshasa and Congo-Brazzaville in Central Africa. We live with the music. It's open. It's not like in the Western societies where the music has to be listened to in the basement. You have to close the door because you don't want to disturb the neighborhood. We need to live with this kind of sounds and fury in Africa. So I grew up in this kind of environment where the music was everywhere, and we would sing. We would go to the bar in order to listen to the music, but not inside the bar, just in front of the bar, because at that time we were kids, we weren't allowed to go in the bar and drink alcohol. Okay. So we sat down outside and listening to the music and singing with the performers.
And I'm guessing that Congolese rumba was something important in the music. So can you tell us what is Congolese rumba, and maybe give us a little bit of history on the genre?
The Congolese rumba coincide with the arrival of the independencies in Africa. It was like for us and as Africans, the way to be like joyful, to like celebrate the fact that we were not anymore colonized by French people. So the rumba is it's a kind of popular urban music in which the artist is trying like to give a lesson to the population. If you listen to a rumba song, the first part, you have the musician who is talking, like saying, don't do that in life, you have to be careful, or don't look at the wife of your brother or your uncle, and so on and so on. And in the middle of the song, you're going to have the excitement. You're going to dance because they're going to stop singing. It's going to be the guitar. Rumba is important because of the guitar, which they often call seben. Seben is a kind of rhythm in which the guitar is very, very, very high, and it's playing like a kind of feel like the guitarist is like singing with his instrument. That was very important for us. Rumba can be considered like the music of liberation, of freedom, the music of the independence, and the music maybe of the expression of our feeling as African.
I think it's interesting because in the history of Congolese Rumba, we see that it emerged from very different musical styles. Mm-hmm. So it's like a blending from Cuban Rumba.
Yes.
And as you said, African music,
yeah.
African rhythms, and yeah. also jazz that yeah. the Belgian colonizers yeah. Yeah. brought. And that from those different musical styles, mm-hmm. it became a sound very unique to mm-hmm. Congo, and that mm-hmm. symbolizes, yeah. as you said, Congo.
Yeah.
And also the independence. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a song that is very symbolizing of that is Grand Calais, Indépendance
yeah.
Cha-Cha.
Yeah.
Maybe we can play it.
Yes, let's play it because yeah. it's very important.
Okay. Let's listen to that.
Indépendance Cha-Cha, Tozumiye,
Okikwanza, Cha-Cha. Grand Calais is often considered as one of the fathers
yes.
of Congolese Rumba, mm. but there are many others yeah. like Franco or yeah. Taboulé Rochereau.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What can you tell us about those classic Congolese Rumba musicians
mm-hmm.
and what kind of Rumba they represent?
Mm-hmm. Yes, at the beginning we can say that Calais is one of the greatest musicians in Congolese Rumba. Not just because he sang that song, Independence Cha-Cha, but just because at that time he has this kind of group called African Fiesta. It was the emergence of the birth of music of liberation. And at the same time, if Calais is considered like the father of one of the father of the Rumba in the Congo, we have other like Mundanda, is not well known here, but he's one of the father. And Calais was like lucky to find the perfect song at the time African nations were trying to free themselves from the French colonization. And the Rumba, when you see like Grand Calais, he died by then. Grand Calais did inspire the musician like Franco and Taboulé because of the performance, because of the voice. He was his voice was very special, and the way he was taking care of his group, African Fiesta. But at the same time, I can add that in the 60s, that song was like an anthem. It's like something we have to sing every time we feel like we are losing the hope in our life. So Calais gave us the mean to like claim our humanity, the mean to claim our way of being free.
And for the classic Congolese Rumba musicians like yeah. Calais and yeah. later on Franco and yeah. Taboulé Rochereau.
Yeah.
What was special about their music, you know, in terms of the music, but also the words, the topics they were singing about, and the language they used?
It's just because they were talking about social issues. It wasn't like this kind of music which is like you don't know what it's talking about, it's just for fun. But it was really the lyrics or the songs were about how the Africans are living after the independence. What we're gonna do now we are freedom. It's maybe the fact that the songs were close to the population that the Rumba Congolese began like to become one of the big deal in our society. At the same time, we would see our father dancing, even if the song is very sad, but people gonna dance because, as I say, the first part of the song is always the lyric when you are talking, giving the advice, and the second part is considered that the part that you're gonna move and shake your body. So the Rumba Congolese gave birth to later on another kind of music called soukous, in which they erased the lyric and they just kept like the rhythm and the place people gonna dance. So from the world, we went to the action, just dancing, dancing and dancing.
So more classic Congolese rumba is more rooted in morale and poetic and maybe romantic and more slow kind of music. And later Congolese rumba is more focusing on the rhythm and and the party and less concerned with the words.
Yeah, right? But it's even interesting, because at the same time you're gonna see that people are interested just to dance at the time. But the best part of the rumba is what the musician is saying. What kind of advice? When you listen to a musician like Franco was like a social philosopher, someone who was trying to lead the youth, African youth, to let them know what not to do in order to become a human being, in order to keep our tradition. So the classical rumba music was a kind of useful music. You do the music in order to like help the population to find a way to live. But the second part of the rumba, mainly in the 90s, it became like just a music for
dancing
party, for excitement, for that's it. It's what the birth of a new kind of the music, which gave the soukous rhythm and later on the ndombolo rhythm as well. JJ Pierre.
And I think that today in the songs, some of the Congolese rumba songs, the musicians give shout-outs to a lot of people, and the people actually pay to have their names in the song. They pay the musicians. But it's not only people that pay the musician, it's also brands, like big brands pay the musicians for the musicians to promote the brand. So
It's a kind of name dropping, you know. I remember when I was producing two albums of my musician Black Bazaar.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
People would come to the studio with money. They give to the musician. You know, no, I want my name in the song, so he's gonna put the name. But you figure out that you have like 200 people who want to pay in order to be in the song. All those people are gonna pay, which makes sometimes musicians feel good, because instead of being paid in like 3 or 4 months, they're gonna have money, cash over there. I knew musicians who were given like a car, television, and so
that's a house. That's a big issue for musicians. It's kind of hard being a musician.
That's
these days.
The new sponsors.
So Black Bazaar is the title of one of your novels, where the main character is a guy who just arrived in Paris from Congo. And the book tells his life, his adventures in Paris. And it gives an outlook of the diversity, but also the richness of the French black experience. But Black Bazaar are also two albums that you produced. And that were released on the label Luz Africa. What is the connection between Black Bazaar, the novel, and Black Bazaar, the albums?
The connection is I wanted just to have a version of my novel in music. I wanted at that time to write an album dealing with all the issues in my novel: immigration, people leaving Africa, going to France in order to succeed, but it doesn't work, and so on and so on. And all of a sudden I say, okay, I'm going to create a group whose name is Black Bazaar. Mm-hmm. And the first song, I said to myself, I'm going to write it, taking like the issue in my novel. And I wrote it like that, thinking about the fact that the rumba, Congolese rumba, is about what advice you can give to people. So you're going to find in that song, like an advice about love, about the fact that you have to live well, about the fact also that you have to be well-dressed, you have to always take care of your body, because this is an important thing is in nowadays. But it wasn't just like I wanted to put my book in music. I wanted just to remind my readers that a novel can be also an object for a musical project.
So as a writer and a poet, the words are obviously very important to you, even in the music. And given the importance of orality in African literature, how do you think of this relationship between music and poetry, the sounds and the written words?
Yes. I think music and poetry are connected. In order to write a good poem, you have to feel something, you have to listen to something. For instance, I'm not like someone who's gonna be arguing because the Nobel Prize was given to Bob Dylan, for instance. I always think that songs, the real songs, are poetry. If you take Imagine from John Lennon, from me, it's a poem. Mm-hmm. You are trying to think the world, to give the image of the world. So the connection is there. But not all songs are poems. Neither, not all poems are songs.
And in your own work, how do you see this relationship between music and writing? Because you write a lot about music in your books, but can we say that there is some kind of musical dimension in your writing?
Yes, because I always write with the music in the background. Yes, okay. I cannot write somewhere where it's quiet. I need the music. Even if I'm writing a novel or writing an essay, I need to put the music of my country in order to have the inspiration, in order to move in my head from the United States to my country. So the music needs to be around me. It's my life. Mm-hmm.
Talking about music and poetry makes me think of Francis Bebe.
Yes.
Who was a Cameroonese singer and also poet.
Yes.
And he's very popular among record collectors around the world. And he's fascinating because he was using electronic instruments early in the 1970s. Yeah. So it's interesting to see that usually electronic music is thought of as a music reserved to Westerners.
Yes.
But actually there were African musicians using electronic instruments back in the day, also Indian musicians.
Yes. And in the 70s or the 80s, that was the period not only Francis Bebe did use electronic instruments, but you have also great musicians from Nigeria like Fela, the father, who used that with success. And you have also in Nigeria, Prince Nikombarga, the guy who sang the song Sweet Mother. He used that kind of instrument. it was the maybe the beginning of a mix in African music, how to deal with Western instruments, whereas we have our own instrument in Africa. So for me, Francis Bebe was a kind of pioneer because he was a musicologist. Mm-hmm. He went to school, he learned the music, he used all the instruments from the traditional African music, oral music African, from Pygmies or from people from Cameroon, trying to mix it with Western civilization. That may be what the music is all about. Even the jazz or the gospel or all kind of African-American music, we took some instrument from the Western civilization and we tried to give those instruments our way of feeling, of like playing the music. And Francis Bebe may be considered like one of our leader in the way that he was a link between the traditional culture of Africa and the modernism that was brought in Africa back then.
Well, let's listen to some Francis Bebe from his album Si les Gaulois avaient su.
Ce sera la fête au clair de la lune. Puis ils repartiront tous les deux dans le firmament.
We were saying earlier that Congolese rumba had emerged from very different style of music to become very unique sound to Congo. But what is interesting too is that now Congolese rumba has become so huge that it has influenced whole of Africa and even beyond. So what do you think of this influence of Congolese rumba all over?
We have this that influence because of the number of the stars, like Koffi Olomide, like Fally Ipupa, like Jibe Mpiana, Werason, so they are like playing music in Europe, in United States, everywhere, and they kept the substance of Congolese rumba, but they did add something else over there. They understand, or they understood at the time the voice of the African youth. So let's think like a musician like P Square from Nigeria, and a lot of them are inspired by the rumba Congolese. And sometimes they are doing featurings with Koffi Olomide or with Werason. So we are seeing that Congolese music is getting in the era of the globalization, like literature did, well, world literature. Now we have this kind of world music, or I can say world Congolese music, which is taking here and there, but at the same time remaining authentic.
Okay. And there's a strong Congolese diaspora in France, and there's a lot of French rappers in France that are from Congolese descent, and that are like very popular in France. I'm thinking of Maître Gims or Niska. Have you heard of those guys?
Maître Gims' father, Juna Janana, because his father was a musician of Papa Wemba in Viva la Musica. So it's normal because you have a new generation of African born in France, and they are trying to mix their roots with their status of being black in France, and it's giving something authentic. We have a kind of mixed, we have a kind of melting pot in Congolese music, which is giving something new. And I think that it's the new direction the Congolese music is taking right now. How to digest your own culture, but at the same time being open to the sound of the world, and being open to the sound of the country in which you are living, mm-hmm. even if it's not in Africa.
Yeah. Okay, so we can listen to some of those French rappers.
Yes.
But before we do that, and we'll probably end the interview here, mm-hmm. and before we listen to those songs, maybe you want to share with the audience some of the projects you're working on now, or maybe a book that is the next book that is coming out, or where we can catch you in LA or in Paris or Brazzaville. Yeah. Anything you want to share with the audience?
No, I'm trying to work on the third album of Black Bazaar,
all right,
but it's gonna take time. Mm-hmm. My musicians are working in Paris trying to create music. I'm trying to create lyrics, and I'm working as well with another musician in France. His name is Gaël Faye, which is the new generation of the rapper in France over there. So my project is to achieve the third album from Black Bazaar, and maybe after that finish my own novel.
Okay.
But it's going to take 2 years.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Alain.
It was
great having you.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to talk to you some more.
Thank you.
Here was Alain Maboncou and Samuel Lamontagne for Dublab Radio. Peace.
Conversation was produced by Dublab, a nonprofit radio station broadcasting live from Los Angeles since 1999. Sound editing and theme song by Matea Baim. For more programming, visit dublab.com. And thank you for listening.